Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Let's talk to Richard Spoor. He's a South African human rights attorney. We want to talk about Shell, although I have no doubt in my mind Richard has a lot to say on the travel bans as well and some irrational decisions. Richard, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Very well, thank you.
So can I tempt you into that conversation first?
Better not. better not. I'd really, as you said, stand by to be shocked, but I really hope not. I hope good sense prevails and, you know, we can get on with our holidays.
I think so. And I'll tell you that my reading of the president's last speech that I had the misfortune of listening to was that he repeated a number of times that the virus, although very strongly is in Gauteng, that it is in all the other provinces. And I suspect that part of the reason he hasn't spoken to us yet is that they want it to be so that there is no real reason to shut the borders down. I don't believe that that's what they want to do. So let's hope that that is the way that it'll go.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right.
Okay, let's just talk about Shell. So on Friday, we spoke to one of the environmental groups talking about the potential damage to the area. That was then taken to court, and the court found for Shell. Can you just bring us up to speed as to what they found and what happens next? What happens, for example, if they haven't done their due diligence or the right environmental assessment?
Well, the result for environmental activists was of course very disappointing. But what the court really held is that a strong enough case hadn't been made out that there would be irremediable damage done to the environment if the blasting went ahead. However, that was just one attack on the proposed exploration activity. The Legal Resources Center and ourselves have filed a separate attack, which is a little more limited, but does pertain to environmental issues. So the first attack was dismissed. The second attack, which will be heard on the 14th of December, is, I think, a stronger one in law. What we're arguing is that Shell doesn't have an environmental authorization under the National Environmental Management Act, which is a requirement to carry out exploration activities such as the seismic survey. Now, that's a straightforward question of law. Either they do have an environmental authorization or they don't. And the tricky part of it is at the time that the environmental management program was approved, environmental authorizations were not required. But the law was subsequently amended, and today it is very clear that an environmental authorization is required. And we're arguing that on a proper interpretation of the law, they need an authorization. They don't have one, and therefore any exploration activities would be illegal. Now, it's not, that sounds very technical and very narrow, but it does have wider implications, which we'll be pointing out to the court. And that is this. To get an environmental authorization, you need to do a comprehensive environmental impact assessment. What they did, what passed for an environmental assessment back in the day when they simply required an EMPR, Environmental Management Program, was a much lesser detailed process, a very simplified EIA that really didn't require them to look deeply into the environmental implications of what they were doing. So the other issue there is, of course, that this was done in 2013. It's now 2021, and a lot more has been learned, and their EMPR didn't take anything, any of the new developments in the law and the science around exploration into account. So the fact of the matter is that Shell did a very, very basic environmental impact assessment, if you can call it that. And we're saying that that is simply not adequate, not as a matter of law and not as a matter of science. So we're saying that their activities are unlawful. They should be required to do a proper EIA And whatever the outcome is of that EIA, well, they'll either be able to resume the activities or not. But our argument is very clear. They need it. They don't have it. They haven't done a proper study, and therefore they should not continue until they have been through the correct processes.
It's quite strange that a company like Shell would not have done a full EMPR have gone that route, even if at the time that they started it, it wasn't required. Surely they should have anticipated this.
Well, you'd think that a large and responsible company like Shell would do so.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is they haven't. I mean, their exploration right lapsed twice. They simply applied for a renewal. So effectively, the decision from 2013 has been dragged forward through an administrative process that didn't require any environmental updates or inputs and has been dragged forward to today. I think the other point to bear in mind is that it's not Shell alone. Hoskins Consolidated Investments, HCI, a very powerful and politically connected local company, is a key driver behind this exploration and stands to profit enormously if the exploration yields new oil and gas finds offshore. So there are some quite powerful internal interests pushing for this exploration activity, and that may
which is always a concern in South Africa, particularly, I mean, all around the world, but in South Africa we're particularly allergic to this, or should be.
Indeed.
I think I read somewhere that a lot of maybe up to 11 tests had already been done. Is this true?
I understand that exploration has started, so if we're successful on the 14th, it will put a halt to it. But it hasn't prevented it from commencing.
Is the argument from a South African perspective and from people like yourselves that this shouldn't go ahead at all, that this should be an area that is a no-go area, or is it that it needs to be managed differently?
That's certainly not our position as lawyers. So, yes, there are very cogent arguments against further oil and gas exploration. We have the whole issue around global warming. We have concerns around the impact of oil and gas exploration on the oceans and the environment. But our argument is fundamentally that if you're going to do these kinds of high-risk activities, you should do a proper environmental impact assessment and do proper studies to determine what you can do to mitigate the damages. We don't aim to anticipate the outcome of a proper study. We just say Shell should do one.
Absolutely, just do it. Doesn't matter, what the result is a completely different story, but it needs to be done, essentially.
Yes, absolutely.
What are the chances of a success on the 14th?
We are very confident. There are a couple of little legal technical issues that kind of are very much in our favor. So, for example, Parliament passed a law that included a section that read that an EMPR approved in 2013 under the previous dispensation would stand as an EIA approval, as an environmental approval. But that specific section, which specifically said an EMPR from back then stands as an environmental authorization today, was never brought into law. It was never enacted. So this is a clear indication that Parliament contemplated that EMPRs were not the same as environmental authorizations granted pursuant to an EIA, and had proposed a law to make them the same, but decided not to bring that law into effect. So clearly, Parliament recognizes that there is a difference between an EMPR and an environmental authorization. And that appears explicitly from the wording of the statute that was passed, but never brought into effect. So that is a very powerful aid to interpretation. Mm-hmm. And we think it will be, very persuasive and perhaps, determine the matter in our favor.
Richard Spur, thank you for your fascinating insight and for the work that you are doing. It is 8:57. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 High FM.